Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, text 37. Arjuna vacha. Ayati shadhayo peto.
Ayati shadhayo peto.
Yogas chalita manasaha.
Yogas chalita manasaha.
Aprapya yoga sang siddhim.
Aprapya yoga sang siddhim.
Kam gatim krishna gacchati.
Kam gatim krishna gacchati. Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Atiya shraddhayo peto.
Ayati shraddhayo peto.
Yogaschalita manasaha.
Yogaschalita manasaha.
Aprapya yoga samsiddhim.
Aprapya yoga samsiddhim.
Kam gatim krishna gacchati.
Kam gatim krishna gacchati.
Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Ayati shraddhayo peto.
Ayati shraddhayo peto.
Yogachalita manasaha.
Yogachalita manasaha.
Aprapya yoga samsiddhim.
Aprapya yoga samsiddhim.
Kamgatim krishna gacchati.
Kamgatim krishna gacchati.
Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Ayati shraddhayo peto.
Ayati shraddhayo peto.
Yogaschalita manasaha.
Yogaschalita manasaha.
Aprapya yoga samsiddhim.
Aprapya yoga samsiddhim.
Kamgatim krishna gacchati.
Kamgatim krishna gacchati.
Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Ayati shraddhayo peto.
Ayati shraddhayo peto.
Yogaschalita manasaha.
Yogaschalita manasaha.
Aprapya yoga samsiddhim.
Aprapya yoga samsiddhim.
Kamagatim krishna gacchati.
Kamagatim krishna gacchati. Ayatihi.
Ayatihi.
The unsuccessful transcendentalist.
The unsuccessful transcendentalist.
Shraddhaya.
Shraddhaya.
With faith.
With faith.
Upetaha.
Upetaha.
Engaged.
Engaged.
Yogat.
Yogat.
From the mystic link.
From the mystic link.
Cholita.
Cholita.
Deviated.
Deviated.
Manasaha.
Manasaha.
Who has such a mind.
Who has such a mind.
Aprapya,
aprapya,
failing to attain.
Failing to attain.
Yoga sang siddhim.
Yoga sang siddhim.
The highest perfection.
The highest perfection.
In mysticism.
In mysticism.
Kam.
Kam.
Which.
Which.
Gatim.
Gatim.
Destination.
Destination.
Krishna.
Krishna.
O Krishna.
O Krishna.
Gacchati.
Gacchati.
Achieves.
Achieves.
Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? Purport. The path of self-realization or mysticism is described in the Bhagavad Gita. The basic principle of self-realization is knowledge that the living entity is not this material body, but that he is different from it, and that his happiness is in eternal life, bliss, and knowledge. These are transcendental beyond both body and mind. Self-realization is sought by the path of knowledge, by the practice of the Eightfold System, or by Bhakti Yoga. In each of these processes, one has to realize the constitutional position of the living entity, his relationship with God, and the activities whereby he can reestablish the lost link and achieve the highest perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. Following any of the above-mentioned three methods, one is sure to reach the supreme goal sooner or later. This was asserted by the Lord in the second chapter. Even a little endeavor on the transcendental path offers a great hope for deliverance. Out of these three methods, the path of Bhakti Yoga is especially suitable for this age because it is the most direct method of God realization. To be doubly assured Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna to confirm his former statement. One may sincerely accept the path of self-realization, but the process of cultivation of knowledge and the practice of the Eightfold Yoga system are generally very difficult for this age. Therefore, despite constant endeavor, one may fail for many reasons. First of all, one may not be sufficiently serious about following the process. To pursue the transcendental path is more or less to declare war on the illusory energy. Consequently, whenever a person tries to escape the clutches of the illusory energy, she tries to defeat the practitioner by various allurements. A conditioned soul is already allured by the modes of material nature, and there's every chance of being allured again, even while performing transcendental disciplines. This is called yogach chalita manasaha, deviation from the transcendental path. Arjuna is inquisitive to know the results of deviation from the path of self-realization. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kolpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ayati Shraddhayo Peto Yogach Chalita Manasa Aprapya Yoga Sang Siddhim Kam Gatim Krishna Gachatati. Arjuna's questions are so pertinent. You're asking me to take up this process, but I might fail both ways. That's the next verse. Kachin nobhaya vibrashtas chinna brahmi vinashati apratishto mahabaho vimudho brahmanapati. I might fail spiritually, and I might fail materially, because I've given up material life. Now at least I have. Of course, Arjuna was not doing very well in his material life at this point. But the ordinary person, he's got something going on in his material life, some progress. And if he deviates himself from that to make spiritual progress, and then falls down from the spiritual path, he's lost both ways. Then he has no position. At least now I have some material position. If I give up that for Krishna consciousness and don't succeed, then I have no material position and no spiritual position. I'm nowhere. So what about that? That's Arjuna's doubt. Ayati, someone may be aspiring, Shraddhayopeta, not a cheating person, not a person who's trying to fool someone. He's sincere. Shraddhayopeta. But yogaj chalita manasa. His mind becomes deviated. Ajamil became deviated. He became attracted to a prostitute. And there are so many others, especially on the non-devotional path. There are so many examples how even big munis, yogis become deviated by material attraction. Sobhari Muni is one example. That Vishwamitra Muni is another example. And many examples are there. They start sincerely, but the mind becomes attracted to something else. Kam gatim. So what's their destination? Kachin no baya upaya bribrashtas. It seems like they're lost both ways. Apratishto. They're nowhere. They have no standing. Vimudho brahmana. They're bewildered on the path of transcendence. So what happens to them? Etan me sangshayam Krishna chetum arhasya sheshataha twadanya samshayas yasya cheta na hyupapadyate. So he's placing his doubts before Krishna. He's accepted Krishna as his spiritual master. So he's putting his relevant questions to Krishna. And he says to Krishna, I think you're the only one who can clear up the doubt about this. And of course he's right. Krishna is the right person. So he's not asking foolish questions, irrelevant questions. He's asking very pertinent questions. Hare Krishna. Very much to the point. Still, they're very much to the point. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will answer. Partha, naiveha na mutra vinashas tasya vidyate. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gaschati. My dear Arjuna, don't worry. A person who's kalyanakrit, who's done good, auspicious activities, durgatim tata, na. He never goes to any degraded destination. Durgatim. Durgatim means a nasty destination, degraded position. Na eva iha na amutra. Neither in this life, this world or the next world, he's not destroyed, vinasha. He may get set back seriously, but vinasha, no. He's not destroyed. His efforts will not go in vain. Then Srila Prabhupada illuminates that judgment by quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, from Narad Muni. Tyaktva sadharmam chananam bhujam harer bhajan napakvota pato patet tato yudhi yatra kvabhadram abhudamushyakim kovarta apto apajatam sadharmataha. Sometimes on the path of spiritual realization, one gives up one's prescribed duties. We have our normal material activities, and of course we can go on with our normal activities, add a little Krishna consciousness, but sometimes someone wants to make very rapid progress, so he renounces his material connections, or he gives up his material activities in order to take Krishna. You may say that, yes, I have this duty, I have that duty, but I have a higher duty. And for the sake of that higher duty, I'm prepared to give up my other responsibilities and simply serve Krishna. Then suppose he falls down. Now what? Now what? Sometimes we see that someone takes sannyas and prematurely, or he gives up out of, say, immature apakva. Apakva means not ripe, not mature. Immature judgment. He thinks, let me renounce everything. And then he can't maintain his renunciation. Let me leave everything. Then he thinks, why have I left everything? Some big attraction comes and he's not able, that Vishwamitra, he can't resist. Forces have conspired against him. Indra is worried about his position, so he sends one of his chief warriors. And Vishwamitra becomes deviated. But apakva, that means not completely mature. After all, he gave up his kingdom, really because he was having a fight with, who was that? Vasishtha Muni. So there was some material consideration there. It wasn't really fully a mature judgment. But if I become a sadhu, then he's a Muni, I'm just a king, but if I become a Muni also. So his consciousness wasn't completely pure. And then Menaka on top of that. Then he fell down and became the father of Shukuntala. But still, it wasn't lost. His spiritual credit, he was able to regain. And what to speak of a person who's very sincerely following the Bhakti Yoga method. This Vishwamitra was following the Ashtanga Yoga system for gradual progress. The Bhakti Yoga system brings one still closer to Krishna. Even then, suppose someone falls down, still there's no loss. Yatra kvabha, and for one who just sticks to his material life, there's no gain. What do they say? Nothing ventured, nothing gained?
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain. Or what is that? Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? So Narad says, even if he gives up his prescribed duties, swadharma, varnashram dharma, and still, because of immaturity, falls down, there's no loss for him. How is that so? That will be explained in the by the Lord himself in the next verses. Prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashvati sama shuchinam shimitam gehe yoga prashto bijayate. I'm deliberately not going through all the purports because I think it will take us a long time. On our own, sometimes we can go through it. Prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashvati shamaha shuchinam srimatam gehe yoga brashto vijayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. The interesting that punya kritam lokan, the planets where the reserved for those who perform pious activities. Punyakrita. The karmakanda, path in which pious people engage, is meant for reaching such higher regions, the heavenly planets. Even in the Christian religion, there's some idea of heaven. In the Vedic literature, the heavenly planets are described in quite vivid detail. In Islam also, there's discussion of heavenly rewards. So in the Vedic literature, it's clarified that these are material heavenly planets. The Vaikuntha Loka, even generally the picture we get is that you go to heaven and you go, even they say, you go to your last reward. And people have the idea that heaven is where you're rewarded. I know there's some Christian sect which passes around pamphlets which show that you've been resurrected and now you're living in heaven and you're in a little suburban house with a picket fence and your wife is there and your dog is there, and it's just like it always was, except you have a new life. Then there are other descriptions of how you'll have so many beautiful women. Or there are other descriptions of beautiful gardens and so on. The general idea is that you go someplace and now you enjoy. That doesn't correspond to the Vedic description of Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. These are not places for our enjoyment. These are places for Krishna's enjoyment. And the living entities there enjoy serving Krishna. They don't enjoy that now I have the BMW that I wasn't able to have on Earth. Now I have, I had this tired old wife and now I have 17 beautiful girls who will be young forever. That's not the idea. The idea is service to Krishna. Then, if you want enjoyment, then there's another place, the heavenly planets, where these wonderful enjoyments are there. And you can drink nectar, and you can live for thousands and thousands of years, and you'll always be young, and the girls will always be beautiful, and the food will always be good, and everything's really top rate. What they're trying to do at the hotels in Dubai, but done much better. So, by performing pious activities, one goes there. Not just by a few good deeds here and there. One actually has to be very, very pious in one's activities. And then one can earn promotion. One has to avoid sinful activities and make one's life very pious. Then one can go to these higher planets. And that's what people are trying for by their karmakandiya activities, by their pious activities. They're worshipping various deities, Ganesha or Durga or whoever you will, and they're praying that we can go to the higher plan. Of course, the low-grade karmis, they're just praying that they'll get a promotion here, that they'll get a raise or they'll get a new house or whatever, better health. But the more serious karmis, the more enlightened karmis, want to go to the heavenly planets where you get a much better standard. Not just a few years of better pay on earth, but a lifetime which is unimaginable. And if they succeed in rigidly performing pious activities as enjoined in Shastra, they can go to the heavenly planets. And those heavenly planets are the destination achieved by those who fail on the path of Krishna consciousness. What they call the booby prize. You've heard the term? It's not a slang term, but at least in America, when there's some game, the winner wins the prize, and the loser gets the booby prize, the prize awarded to the loser, maybe to the last loser or to the runner-up.
Consolation
prize. Yeah, consolation prize is right. The consolation prize. You didn't win, but we give you something. So this is the consolation prize for those who are deviated in Krishna consciousness, that you get to go to the place for those who achieve perfection on the path of karmakanda. And how long can you go? Ushitva shashvati sama. For thousands of years. Thousands of years. Shashvati. For many long, long time, you go to the heavenly planets and stay. But no one can stay in those planets forever. They're not eternal. Even on those punyekshine, marchyalokam vishanti. Even those who attain the heavenly planets by pious activities finally have to come down when their pious actions, pious credit is exhausted. Something like the tourists who come here, they save up their paychecks, they come to Dubai, they spend however much money every day and every night, and then their pocket starts to empty, and then they go back to Chicago or back to New Jersey or wherever it is, and go back to work and try to build up their capital again. So it's something like that. One earns tremendous capital of pious credit, spends like anything on the heavenly planets, gets to stay there for a long time, and then comes back down. So the unsuccessful transcendentalist also follows that course. He comes back down. But shuchinam srimatam gehe, yoga brashna, avijayate, the person who has fallen from the path, yoga brashna, takes his birth, shuchinam srimatam gehe. Suchi means Brahmin family, or srimat, Vaishya family, very prosperous family. Prabhupada comments that those who fall after lesser practice take birth in the Vaishya family, and those who fall after longer practice take birth in the Brahmin family. Especially Brahmin Vaishnava. So these are opportunities. The Shudra family doesn't afford much opportunity. You have to work to scrape by. You don't get much education. A lot of low association. Shudra family doesn't give much. Right away you have to work and work and work. Not much opportunity. Of course, anyone can become Krishna conscious. But generally in the manual labor section, there's not so much opportunity. Not so much opportunity. But in the prosperous family, there's education, there's culture. There are many families in the Vaishya section that are very pious, very religious families, charitable and inclined toward religious or spiritual activities. So with education, pious background, culture, these are advantages. Or the Brahmin family. Brahmin family means it's especially meant for spiritual knowledge, spiritual culture, religious activities. Yes. So the Brahminical family is naturally giving direction for further progress. Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to say that these Western disciples were fallen from this in this way, because mostly they came from wealthy families. In America, he said every family is wealthy by Indian standards. He used to tell in India that they all have cars. You know, this was back in the days when an ambassador car was a rare sight on the roads of India. He said they all have cars. Not only their fathers have cars, they have cars. So it's a fact that anyone who takes birth in America, generally speaking, especially in the middle class, they're quite wealthy. So Prabhupada used to encourage us in that way by saying that we were coming from in this way, fallen from the path of spiritual realization. He said, now you take it up and continue. Maybe he was flattering us, I don't know. One of my god sisters contributed one memory that newly joined, and she was at Bury Place, our first temple and early temple in London. And she met Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he told her something to the effect that since she and her friend were very serious about Krishna consciousness, they were searching for something, and now they'd come to the temple. He said, so you must have been yogis in your past life. You must have been. He said, she said, I knew he was flattering us, but I thought, well, maybe. Anyway, Krishna says this. Maybe not everyone in a wealthy family is there on this account, but it can happen like that, that those who appear in pious, in wealthy families or highly educated families have been placed there on account of their past progress, partial progress on the spiritual path. There's also another possible birth. Atava yoginam eva kule bhavati bhimatam. One might take birth in a family of transcendentalists, yogis, kule, in such a family. Dhimatam, wise family. One might take birth in a family of transcendentalists. Prabhupada mentions, just like the Goswami families, Acharya families, there are some families which are naturally Krishna conscious. Just like our devotee families. That's superior to the Vaishya family or the Brahmin family. The Vaishnavas are better than the Brahmin. Brahmanas are just interested in the Supreme. Brahmajanati iti Brahma. But the Vaishnavas they know that the Supreme is Krishna, and they want to serve the Supreme. They're engaged in his service. So a Vaishnava family is superior even to the Brahmin family. So if one is born in that family, very fortunate. Very fortunate. From the very beginning, he hears the holy name of the Lord. He's taught to offer respect to the deity of the Lord, takes prasadam of the Lord, meets saintly people and is trained to offer them respect. Tulsi plant is there. So many things. So many things. So many good and fortunate opportunities. Etadhi durlabhatara loke janma yadidrisham. Krishna says, this is durlabhatara. Still more rare. Still a very rare birth. And Prabhupada mentions that he was born in a that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in a family of devotees, and that he also had the opportunity to be born in a devotee family. So these are all advantages, and especially such a rare birth in a devotional home. Tatra tam buddhi sam yogam labhate parvadehika. Now, just by Krishna's arrangement, Hare Krishna, we have enough newcomers that we can suggest a second cell phone check.
Mobile's off. Yeah.
Okay. Here's a man of wisdom. He comes with his mobile off. So, now something extraordinary happens. That this person who's taken birth in this family, whether it's a devotee family or a Brahmin family or a prosperous mercantile family, becomes automatically attracted to spiritual life. Parvadehika. From his previous life's progress, now he becomes attracted again. Buddhi sam yoga. He gets in touch with that natural intelligence. And he becomes automatically attracted. We see that in our preaching activities, that some people are naturally attracted. They're naturally attracted. Sometimes we find that people, they're naturally following some spiritual discipline. Or when they, even if they're not, as soon as they find out about it, oh, I want, can I do this? Can I do this? Very quickly they make progress. Some people, it's a long, slow road. But some people, right away, after a very short time, they're speeding along in Krishna consciousness. Parvadehika. Because of their previous contact. It's as if they were just waiting there for someone to light the spark, to fan that spark and set it going. In our preaching activities, sometimes you find you knock on some door and it's practically as if I was waiting for you to come. They see the books and they're immediately excited. They hear about the chanting, they're immediately interested on account of their previous life's activities. Therefore, Krishna says earlier that, what is that? Come on. That there's no loss, there's no neha vikramanasho sti pratyavayana vidyate. There's no loss, there's no diminution. Again, it will come back to his credit. Even if he's set back, again, he becomes attractive. Therefore, yatate chatato bhuya samsito guru nandana. He tries to make further progress in order to achieve perfection. He may know that I advanced up to a certain point. He can understand. I must have come to a certain point and then become distracted. Now let me finish my business. Prabhupada so often used to say that you must have come to some stage of progress Now finish it in this life. In the purport, Prabhupada talks about Jad Bharat. Maharaj Bharat gave up his kingdom and went to the forest for spiritual realization. But he became attracted to a deer. But even as a deer, by Krishna's arrangement, he was conscious. That's a special arrangement. He was conscious that because I was attracted to a deer, now I've become a deer. I should have been exclusively focused on Krishna. Instead, I became focused on this stupid deer, and now I'm a stupid deer. So he used to hang around the sages. He used to, sometimes we see there's some animals, they want devotee association. Practically they're a little special. They want to be in the association of devotees. Sometimes that happens. So this Bharat Maharaj, in his next life as a deer, he used to frequent the association of the devotees, the sadhus. So then in his next life, he became this Jad Bharat. But he deliberately made himself stupid externally so that he was useless for material affairs. His father would try to teach him something and he would just couldn't get it straight. He was like a hopeless case. But that was his plan. Let me be a hopeless case for material life so that I can be fully engaged in Krishna's service. And at some point, he was picked up, because he was very stout and strong, as a palanquin carrier by Maharaj Rahugana. And he wasn't carrying very well, so the king rebuked him. And then finally, Jad Bharat answered him, but answered him with all exalted spiritual instructions, and so the king could understand, oh no, he's actually a great soul. So that in that birth he attained perfection. So it wasn't lost. It wasn't lost. Purva bhyasain attain aiva shriyate hiyavasho api saha. Avasha means automatically. It's not under his control. Vasha means control. Avasha, helplessly. Automatically. Sometimes even a person wonders, why can't I make it in material life? Why can't I, somehow I can't put my heart into it. You know, all my friends, they're putting their heart and soul into their studies, they're putting their heart and soul into their career, they're putting heart and soul into sports, they're putting heart and soul, somehow I can't put my heart into this. He's not attracted. But Krishna consciousness, he's automatically attracted. That's Krishna's mercy. From his previous practice, he's lost his... He can't fit in. He can't be an ordinary materialist. Won't work for him. But he becomes helplessly attracted. Events conspire against him in such a way as to throw him into Krishna consciousness. Automatically. Jigyasu. He becomes inquisitive. Api yogasya shabda brahma tivartate. And that brings him beyond the realm of the ordinary Vedic duties, Vedic rituals, ordinary varnashram responsibilities, the householder duties, community projects, community duties, family obligations, national responsibilities. He's not interested in these things. He's interested in spiritual life. And when we see that, even if we see that in the family of someone born in the person of a, in someone who's born in a very low family, we have to say, oh, Shabda Brahmahati Vartate. He's just like Haridas Thakur, born in a Muslim family, which in India at that time was not considered a very high birth at all. All the low-class people were converted to Islam. They had nothing to lose. They had nothing to lose and everything to gain. If you're a chandala in the Vedic system, you're nobody. But you can join Islam and then you're one of the... you're aligned with the people who are running things. You're promoted. So many low-class people were attracted. So the Muslim people were considered to be low-class. And Haridas Thakur was born, apart from, especially for the habit of meat-eating, they're considered very low class. And Haridas Thakur happened to be born in such a family, but he's completely attracted to the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So Shabda Brahmati Vartate. There's no consideration then of what family, what community. Ato bhatta swapachoto gudiyan. Yajjivagre vartate nama tubhyam tapas te juhuvu shashnur arya brahmanu chur nama gurmanti yata. Because he's chanting the holy name of the Lord, he's already done all the other stuff. He's bathed in all the holy rivers. He's performed all the austerities and sacrifices. He's done everything. Because he's just like a person who has a PhD. You understand, he's already graduated high school. He's already got an MA. You meet a PhD, you don't have to ask him, are you an MA also? Even if he didn't graduate high school. Sometimes some of our members, they don't even graduate high school, but they go on and get PhDs. Forget high school. You're good enough to become a PhD. They earn their PhD, and no one cares whether or not they earned a high school diploma or not. No one asks to see their high school diploma. They see their PhD, that's enough. They take some tests, yes, he's already fit. Save themselves a lot of time. So, devotee like Haridas Thakur, above all of the Vedic injunctions, rules and regulations for gradual advancement, because he's achieved the goal. He's chanting the holy name of the Lord. Prayatnad yatamanastu yogi samshuddha kilbisha. Now he's been attracted, and prayatnad yatamana. Now he sincerely endeavors, prayatna, very rigorously following. I'm not going to make that mistake again. Now in this life I have to finish. I was deviated by some rubbish. Now let me finish my business. Yogi, samshuddha kilbisha. So he becomes completely freed, completely purified of the results of all past sinful activities. And naturally he doesn't perform any more sinful activities. Samshuddha, completely pure. Samshuddha kilbisha. Aneka janma sangsiddhas. In this way, after many births, sangsiddha, he becomes completely perfect. Tato yati paramita. Therefore he goes back to God. Tapasvibhyo diko yogi gyanibhyo pi matodika. Karmi vyaschadiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarja. Therefore you should be such a yogi. Arjun. Yogi nama pi sarvesham madgaten antaratmana. Shraddhavan bhajate yo mam same yukta mato tamo mata. The best yogi is the one who's always engaged in devotional service. All right, what questions?
There seems to be an apparent dichotomy in the way the path Chedabharat takes as compared to this verse. Here, this verse explains that you enjoy in heaven and then come down, but Jadavarat apparently...
Krishna's arrangement. This is the normal setup. That you go to the heavenly planets, you spend 1,000 years or so, you come back down, you take another birth. But Jadavarat was exceptional. He took birth as an animal. But as an animal, he remembered Krishna. He remembered his previous life. So then the next birth. Or sometimes when Prabhupada mentioned those who perform sinful activities in Vrindavan take birth as animals and then they go back to God. So there's special arrangements by Krishna's mercy, but this is the general case.
Still is probably quite this thing because especially in such a case, in the normal case, if the period is extremely long, then you might come into an age where it might not be very...
Yeah. Therefore, don't calculate like this. I'll just go to the heavenly planets and it'll be, you know, I'll do like 80% Krishna consciousness. I'll go to the heavenly planets. I'll cruise there for a few thousand years. Then I'll come back and finish the business. Don't calculate like that. You don't know what you'll come back to, and it's such a waste of time. Dhruva Maharaj was awarded such a benediction. You wanted a kingdom as good as your grandfather's. Yes, now take it. You can live for thousands and thousands of years as the head of the planet, Dhruvaloka. Then Dhruva was lamenting. I was such a fool. And now I have to stay here and accept this benediction for so many thousands of years. Instead of going back to Godhead, I have to get the results of my material aspirations. So he was, as they say, kicking himself. Yes.
In the upper planets, the heavenly planets, it says that we have to go undergo the similar order of birth.
Yes, still there's...
There's disease, old age, and death. So
yeah.
How do you explain that? Because that is the upper heavenly planet.
It's the upper planets, but it's not the spiritual world. And you'll find a very vivid description in Brihad Bhagavatamrita when Narad Muni visits Indra in the heavenly planets, because the pious king, I think, was saying that I'm not really a devotee. Indra is a devotee. He lives in the heavenly planets where everyone's immortal, and his food is the nectar of immortality, and so on and so on and so on. He has no anxieties. And then Narad Muni began praising Indra like that. Indra said, essentially, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just joking with me. I'm also afraid of death. Not only that, I'm afraid of losing my post. I'm always in anxiety. The demons are always coming and attacking. Sometimes they actually take over and drive me out, and I have to go into hiding. I'm feasting on the nectar of immortality, but sometimes I practically have to starve. somebody else takes my portion of sacrifice, some Hiranyakashipu or other, then I have to starve. So the heavenly planets are heavenly relatively. Just like from, you know, take some guy in the busties, you know, on some hillside in Bombay in one of those tin corrugated things. If you tell him that he could live in Silver Sands number 2, it's unimaginable for him. There's air conditioning, first of all. There's air conditioning. Yeah, it's unimaginable. Actually, the standard of life for the ordinary person in Dubai is unimaginable for the person living in poverty in India or even America. It's an unimaginable standard. They think, you know, this isn't, or even we think that the people like the Birlas or the Mittals and so on, how their life must be amazingly wonderful. But actually, if you drill down, you find they have so many problems. They have to play hide and seek with the government, and
and the two brothers are fighting. Like
the brothers are fighting. Yeah, I'm not following what's going on, but they're the Ford family, very big, big family. Somebody wrote a biography, and this one's a drunkard, and this one had this problem, and this one this. They're all the at the end of the someplace in the book, the author said that it seems that perhaps only Alfie has found some happiness. Alfie is Alfred Ford, Ambarish Das. He's the only one who seems to have found happiness in the whole family. So that's the nature of the heavenly planets. Just means relative to where we are. For the person living in the ghettos, living in the slums, Dubai is a heavenly planet. For those of us here, Indraloka is a heavenly planet. For Indra, there's still something better. No, it's only relatively heavenly. Even for those who are under us, the earth is heavenly. And for us, it's hell.
There's 9 planets in the solar system. There's 9 planets that we, in a normal way, define as part of the solar system. What level are they on?
What level are they on? I haven't studied all the planets to tell you the truth. The moon is a heavenly planet. The sun is a heavenly planet. Venus is a heavenly planet.
Yeah, this is in the fifth canto.
Fifth canto.
It explains all of this.
Maybe all these things circling up there, because they're all up. So generally, that they're heavenly planets. We're on the middle planet, and then underneath, Tal, Atal, Vital, Talatal, Patal.
I just heard about this morning.
Okay, you're on top of it.
He said that Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction, that to reach the second heavenly planets through a similar mechanical arrangements, if you have to take a rocket and go out there, it will take 40,000 human years to reach that. And who knows who could live that long to reach 40,000, to take 40,000 years to, plus the resources and the fuel to reach that time. That's what it is.
Yeah, there's no, they want to go to the moon planet. There's some book that was published, I saw just recently, by one German journalist about the unlikelihood that they actually went to the it's called One Small Step for Mankind. Have you seen that book?
There are some photographs and there's one pager actually being sent on the internet. Or one pager sent.
No, this is not a one pager. This is a book.
Oh, this is a book, yeah.
It was written in German and translated into English. One Small Step for Mankind. If anyone gets it, let me know. It's partly available on Google Books, but not all of it. Very interesting. He points out that up until, what was it, Project Mercury? Up until then, the American record for launching rockets successfully was about 50-50. You know, that so many of them used to go up in flames, crash, this, that. And then America, you know, we're going to put a man on the moon. And all right out there in the public, they just risked everything on having a perfect shot. And after that, every shot was perfect.
Subsequently, all other Apollo missions failed. After Apollo 11, everything failed.
Yeah, everything failed now. They just had a lucky streak for a few years.
That's what you're saying. That was the point he had picked up. That how does it happen that we don't do anything but still it works?
Yeah. Up till Kennedy declared that we're going to put a man on the moon within 10 years. Up till then, the record was like, I think 67% failure on the rockets. And after he declared we're going to put a man on the moon, 100% success rate. So quite a turnaround. He makes many other points, but that was one of them. Anyway, even if you go, the problem makes this. Suppose you can go. You can't stay. The people who went to buy rockets, supposedly, they couldn't stay. That at least we agree on. Even if they went, they couldn't stay. And even if you go by pious activities, you can't stay. So what's the use? You know, you rent an apartment and then you find out that in 6 months you're going to get kicked out. Why go to begin with? 6 months, 6,000 years, it's just relative. Who wants to get kicked out?
And after their return, they run into a lot of health problems, including depression and all that.
All sorts of problems. Yes?
I was asked this question, that if women and drinks are all considered sinful on this planet, when women and drinks are all considered sinful on this planet, why does one, after doing so many pious activity, go to heaven and do the same thing?
If drinking here is considered sinful, why do you go to heaven and drink
the same?
It's not quite the same thing. On heaven, they're not drinking Budweiser or something like that. Kingfisher. It's this is somaras. It's an intoxicant, but it's not sinful. It's a different thing. Here, by these intoxicants, one goes down into the mode of ignorance, becomes very degraded, loses all of his pious activities. But the somaras is a different kind of stuff. It's intoxicating, but it's not degrading. It's a different thing.
So all devotees, if we do not complete our journey back to God in this life, even if we do not fall into material life, we still end up in heaven?
Seems like that's what's indicated. That one has to, gets the privilege of going, but B, is stuck with going there. It's not, it's actually a kind of punishment. From one point of view, it's a reward. Well, you know, even if you fail, you get to go to heaven. But from another point of view, going to heaven is a failure. To have to go to heaven and waste all one's time heavenly so-called enjoyment. It's just
being kicked upstairs.
Hmm?
Being kicked upstairs and then you have to come back again.
Yeah, you get kicked upstairs and you have to come back down. It's a waste. It's a major diversion. Like you're trying to go someplace and you take the wrong turn and you go through all these beautiful fields. And you see all these wonderful places.
That means even if you're not interested in going, you still land up there?
Yeah.
He's not interested in going to heaven.
Yeah. His interest is to go back to Godhead, but he becomes deviated, and then instead he has to go to heaven.
In heaven, you do not think of Krishna because there's so much opulence.
Heaven, the tendency is to think about other things.
So you could actually completely bewildered in the next life and fall much lower than what you ended up the previous life.
Say again?
Like, if you go to heaven as a part of your promotion, but those long life, because in heaven you live very long and you have so much opulence and so much extravagance and all that, so you probably forget Krishna, and then again when you come back to this material world, you would have actually gone much lower than what you ended up in that previous life.
Well, now you're calculating beyond what's said here.
Speculation.
Krishna says you don't fall down.
Even in the heavenly planets, they sometimes, there's something Krishna consciousness, there's some religious activities performed, there are sacrifices. They're not demons, they're devatas up there. But the involvement in sense enjoyment is considerable. So it's not the place for spiritual advancement. This is the place for spiritual advancement. Therefore, it's mentioned in the fifth canto that the demigods are praying, if at the end of our stay in the heavenly planets there's even a slight remnant of our punya karma left, then let us take birth in Paritvarsha. Let us take birth here, where there's the opportunity for spiritual life. Or especially, one could say India's Paritvarsha sometimes means the third earth, sometimes Prabhupada says India. Human birth in India is especially fortunate. Yeah, therefore we have to practice. We have to practice to think of Krishna. It's not just automatic. It requires practice, it requires...
But then you're riding two horses at the same time. It cannot be done actually.
No. Krishna says it's possible. What is that? Abhyasena tu kanteya vairagyena chudriyate. Krishna says it is possible by constant practice, suitable practice, and by detachment. Those who are attached to what's going on in the office, attached to the position, attached to the pay, attached to the secretary. They'll have a hard time. But a devotee is attached to Krishna, and he just has to practice seriously. And in the mature stage also, he gives it up. As long as he's in householder life and has family responsibilities, he works as a matter of duty to maintain his family in Krishna consciousness. But at the mature stage, he doesn't go on thinking, I can still work some more, I can still earn some more, I can still enjoy a little more in household comfort. He kicks it off. Why should I waste my whole life working? The materialists, sometimes they work their whole life, finally they retire, and then they get bored and they go back to work. Because they don't know anything else. So when they finally reach retirement, they're disappointed and they know nothing better than to go back to work. But the devotee looks forward to the opportunity to taper off his householder life, shut down that phase and enter the next phase, where he won't have those distractions, those duties, those obligations, and he can focus completely on spiritual activities.
What is that point of time?
50. Panchashortam vanam brajet. In Shastra it said, after the age of 50, one should get out of family life. Vanam brajet, one should go to the forest. They used to do it. The kings would go off to the forest. Now, that's a little difficult. But Vrindavan forest is there, Prabhupada said. One can take advantage of the facilities in Vrindavan and live there, cultivate Krishna consciousness. Or similar places where there's devotees and service of the Lord. Any of our temples, they're as good as Vrindavan.
Just a thought to what Prabhu was saying. Giving the results also of the work that we do is a means of progressing, isn't it? Even though you're fully...
Yeah, the money becomes purified, the work becomes purified by that charitable activity. Yajna dana tapa karma pavanani manishina. It's purified.
Maharaj, the thing was that what Prabhuji said, that although we do office work and give the results for Krishna, but the point I was trying
to... That we act, it's not just...
It does equally.
Purifying our existence, but the point is that we actually want to think of Krishna. Not just that we want to forget Krishna and then at the end of the week say, okay, I gave half my money to Krishna. So it's all purified. But during the week, we want to actually be remembering Krishna. That's your point, yes?
I mean, you know, although I've heard several times that office life is dogtail, but somehow that absorption in office work and devotional work, it does not match. When you get absorbed in office work, you do feel some material shadow on the consciousness.
Yeah. Therefore, it's practice, how to remember Krishna even while doing all of these things. Prabhupada gives that example of the wife who has some other lover. So it's possible, lover consciousness. But that's possible by, you can see how advanced we have to become so that we always actually think of Krishna. You know, it's easy that, yes, I'm a Krishna devotee and I have neck beads and I come to the programs, but actually to always think of Krishna. Or even to be a sannyasi, whatever, but actually to think of Krishna, always. Oh, how serious we have to be.
Maharaj, is there a difference like...
Inoffensive chanting. Yes.
Maharaj, I heard in a lecture that the devotees think of Krishna out of love. And there is, in a practicing state, we think of Krishna like reading from the philosophy. Maybe there is no love. Like the sunshine is Krishna. There is no... is that kind of thinking also considered to be a genuine way of thinking?
Yes. It's not that unless I'm thinking about, you know, unless I'm pining away in separation from Krishna and thinking about Rasleela or something, then it's not Krishna consciousness. Rather, if I'm thinking about those things, probably there's some mistake. In the beginning stage, we have to think about remembering the spiritual master's instructions. That's thinking about Krishna. Remembering what service I have to do for the satisfaction of Krishna. That's not that I have to imitate the Paramhansas and somehow or other psych myself into thinking something that I'm not capable of thinking. If I'm chanting sincerely, I'm trying to carry out the instructions of the spiritual master and remember the spiritual master. Trying to remember Krishna's instructions while I'm carrying out my duties. That's also thinking of Krishna, what Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita. Not that Krishna only means, you know, Rasleela and those things. What else? Okay, it's gotten to be about 10 o'clock. Should we wrap things up? And yes. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Samaveta Bhakta Brindaki Jai Gaur Premanande.